Amen, and I hope it will minister you, for God's in the business of working miracles, amen. I titled the sermon, Jesus Can Do a Miracle for You. And it's found in the book of John. If you would turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 2. It's a very familiar story, amen, where Jesus turned water into wine. And it would happen in the setting of a wedding. And so we're going to turn our Bibles, amen, to John, chapter 2, 1 through 11. 1 through 11. And we will go into the Word of God. On the third day, a wedding took place at Canaan in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and the disciples has also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine has gone out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus said to him, "Woman, why do you involve with me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not come." And his mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind that Jews use for ceremony washing and purification. And each jar held 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill up the jars with water." And so they went and filled them up to the brim. And he told them, "Now draw some and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water, and when it had turned into wine, he did not realize where it came from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew where it came from. And he called to the bridegroom and called them aside and said, "Everyone who brings the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine is brought out afterwards, after the guests who had too much to drink. But you saved the best until now." And what Jesus did here in Canaan and Galilee was the first miracle, the first signs which he revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. Let's go in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for this hour that you have given us, Lord. We thank you, God, for you're going to do in our hearts and our lives, God. We believe in you, God, that you're the unchanging God, the same God that yesterday, today, and forevermore, and you can work miracles in our lives, Lord, as we call out unto you, God, and we believe in your scriptures and we believe in your name. I pray you may bless your people and encourage them, God, in the faith, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me just turn. I like to go a little bit of without the mic right now. Can you guys hear me? Yeah. Amen, amen. In our best days, like our wedding, amen, we could plan for the best, like our wedding day. But there were things that you can plan, that can go everything right, but there will be things that will go unplanned, that can go wrong, things that are out of control. I remember when me and my wife, we got married almost about 16 years ago. We planned out the wedding. 17, sorry, she corrected me. 17 now, sorry. I need to update my memory. 17 years ago, amen. All right, we planned out the wedding and everything, but there was things that didn't go right. For instance, for beginners, amen, her best friend was supposed to come over and do her makeup, and her best friend didn't show up. And so my wife had to do her own makeup, you know, added more stress to the day. And then, you know, the flower bouquet came out right. It wasn't the right one she picked out. And you know, when you picked out the one and it's just not the right one, you get kind of upset, you know. And then something with the flowers went wrong, amen. And something with the cake went wrong. And then finally, thank goodness, my wife said, you know, "Let me just get married to my husband," which was the best thing in the wedding, amen. And I was happy, amen. I put a smile on her face as she walked down, amen. But, you know, just like this wedding and just like my wedding, things can go wrong. And in the Bible days, you know, wedding took much planning. But they did not plan for the wine to go out. You know, there's certain things in a wedding you just plan for. You make sure that the food will be there. The wine will be there. The wine is what brings joy to you. It's what brings joy to the people in the wedding. The food could run out, but don't let the wine go out, you know. But at least this couple was wise enough to invite Jesus to their wedding. Amen. Amen. And this was the first miracle that Jesus did. And I believe that Jesus can work miracles in your life. You might have a testimony or a life and you walked in a Christian life for some time and you pray, well, I never had a miracle. Well, believe God for miracles because he's in the business of making miracles happen. Jesus was about 30 years old at this time. He already has been baptized. He has already been tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. He had at least 6 disciples following him already that who went to the wedding with him. Philip, Nathaniel, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. But notice here in verse 2, Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Jesus went to a wedding. This shows the humanity of God, that he is just like us, that he loved to have a good time. He wasn't like John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had a reputation of not associating himself with people. Actually, he lived outside in the desert. The Bible says that he didn't come eating and drinking. And that's why the Pharisees told Jesus, why are you eating and drinking with sinners? Because he was a friend of sinners. In Matthew, it says this. It says this, John came neither eating nor drinking. And they said that he had a demon. They said he was weird. But the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, and they looked at him, oh, he's a gluttony, he's a drunkard. He's a friend of tax collectors and a friend of sinners. And see, the devil loves to use this story and use scripture, amen. He used this story just like, you know, for a license for Christians to drink, you know. The devil likes to twist scriptures. But I have to say this, that Jesus never got drunk. Christians who use scriptures to drink, amen, they're worse than the ones who just simply admit that they have a problem. They're blind to the fact that the devil uses scriptures to twist scriptures. And uses scriptures to twist, be twisted, and to get people caught up. But this was simply was supposed to be a wedding, a simple wedding, for a couple who didn't have much. But at least they show hospitality to unexpected guests, the Jesus' disciples. It would be very rude in the Jewish time to show for not to invite guests, unexpected guests. It would be very rude to say, no, your guests cannot come to our wedding. That would be something very rude at that time in that culture. So that's why they show hospitality. They say, bring your guests. Yes, they're welcome. And it seemed like their wedding was like a little hit around their community. More people came. I remember in our wedding, my wife, we had 100 people who RSVP. We only could afford 100 people. But only 90 showed up. And I was like, where's the other 10? I paid for them. Go get them. We're on the budget, you know. But this wedding forgot to RSVP people. And more people came out. And Mary, being a woman, starting to sense some things. You know, guys, we're just enjoying the good time, having a good time at the party. But women, they started noticing some things. Just like Mary, she started noticing there's a lot more people at this wedding than it's supposed to. And she started, you know, just being curious about things, you know, seeing, oh, the wine is running out. And she's become a little bit worried. And she's noticed that an embarrassment is about to happen. Shame is about to happen. If the wine was to run out at a Jewish wedding, shame would come upon this newly couple. And this grace would come upon them. And in that culture, the community was very close. It's not like America where you just go to your house after work and, you know, just mind your own business. No, this was a culture they're very closely knitted to one another. They kind of knew about each other's business. They knew who your children were. They knew who your relatives were. And if the word got out that you ran out wine at your wedding, it will brought disdain upon them, a disdain upon their name and reputation. And something unexpected was about to happen and did happen. The wine ran out. And Jesus and Mary brought this concern to Jesus. And Jesus said, what is your concern to do with me, woman? Why are you involving me in your affairs? And you kind of sense that, like, what? That's not like Jesus. But you have to understand this was the mother of Jesus. And Jesus was saying to Mary, listen, we have a new relationship now. You can't just ask me as your son to do anything you want me to do. We all know that Jesus was the obedient son under the authority of their mom and their parents. But now, you know, if Mary just can't simply go before Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, can you just work a miracle?" No. Listen, he said, called her woman. This wasn't like our culture here where we call somebody a woman. It has an undertone of disrespect. This was something very acceptable at that time because we know that Jesus at the cross said, "Woman, behold your son." We just speaking to his disciple, John, to take care of him, for him to take care of her. But here, we know that they enter into a new relationship. That Jesus couldn't just do anything what his mother asked him to do, but he has to ask now his heavenly father. And even though the scriptures didn't say, I believe there was some time and space where he had to distance himself and pray, "Lord, heavenly father, is this your will? Do you want me to turn water into wine for this married couple?" Because Jesus was a man under authority. Everything he did was because of the Father's will. He prayed, you know, that Jesus would come out, and that Lazarus would come out of the tomb. Before Lazarus, he just didn't do it by his own authority. No, he prayed. And everybody saw that he prayed. And he spoke out, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. And the miracle happened. And the wine was running out and it ran out. Shame was about to happen to this couple. This newly couple who didn't have much. Didn't have much enough funds to even last the celebration for one full day. They were simply going to make the best of it. Hoping to have a good memory. You think about it. Jesus, he didn't even work the miracle while he was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan tempted him. "Turn these stones into bread. Do a miracle, Jesus. You're hungry. Do a miracle." And he didn't. You know, if Jesus was Asian, you know, the devil would have said, "Turn these stones into rice. You know, so you can eat some rice." Because, you know, Asians love rice. They got to have rice. But we know Jesus was Jewish. He wasn't Asian. And that, you know, my wife, when we first got married, man, she was rice every day. My goodness. I was like, "Are you able to cook something else besides rice?" And thankful she heard to my request and, "Man, well, what do you like to eat?" You know, I'm like, whoa. I have a unlimited menu here. And so, because we had an agreement, you know, she was the cook and I was just the cleanup man, you know. And but now as years gone on, I learned to cook a little bit for my wife to help her around in that area, man, because it'd be very stressful cooking every day. But think about it, you know, here Jesus performed the first miracle of turning water into wine. Wine is not a necessary. It's not something you need. It's a luxury item. If they were thirsty, they could drink water. But it wouldn't be appropriate for have water at a wedding. You know, if you showed up at a wedding and they say, "What do you have to drink?" "All we have is draw water." You're like, whoa, they're on a budget, really on a budget. You don't have no soda? Flavor water at least, you know? But that, no. Wine was expected at a wedding. Wine was expensive. It came with the cost, especially fine wine. And the whole event could have turned south if the guests ran out of wine. So the question became this. Jesus, would you care enough? That's what Mary did. We could sense the care of Mary. Mary passing on the Jesus, can you at least care enough? Can you at least have compassion enough? Mary asking for a miracle. And she got a miracle. Mary in her wisdom told the servants, "Do whatever he said to do." Listen, you can pray for miracles and God will do miracles. You can pray for miracles in other people's lives just like Mary did. And miracles work in other people's lives, even when they didn't ask for it. The bride and the bridegroom, they didn't ask for a miracle. They're about to get a shame upon them. But Mary was so concerned for others. Lord, do a miracle for them. And I'm a living testimony of that. God worked miracles in my life. One recent miracle I would say is, I was reading the Bible, and this is why I'm so heavily on praying scripture over your life. Because I was reading the Bible and I read Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. It says, God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all what you can ask and think. And so I know what the scripture is talking about in context, but I applied it to my life. And I wanted to bless my kids. And so that week I prayed that when I read that scripture, I said, Lord, do above and abundantly what I can ask and think for my kids. I was praying for my kids. And I'll say, do something that I know it will be from you. And later on that week, you know, I prayed that, you know, and I prayed it, you know, throughout that week. And, you know, Saturday came. And we came to, we were going to ice skating up in UTC in La Jolla. After we're done with ice skating, we were in that area and we decided to call up a friend that we never went to the house before because they live in Poway, which is pretty far. And I don't know. I was like, you know what? They got a new house. Let's go visit them. And they've been in the house for maybe, like, I think 2 years or something like that, or 2 or 3 years. And so I'm like, we never been over there. You know, we should go check them out, say hi. And so we hit them up and it was out of the blue. It wasn't planned. And so we went over there and they invited us over. Yeah, just come over. And we all went over there just to have some fellowship, just to have some food. And they had two kids. One already went to college and one is already in high school. And their kids were very involved in Legos when they were younger. I mean, they had Lego sets. Now, I buy my kids Legos, but I don't buy them Lego sets because those Legos are very expensive. And they were so generous to give my kids bags of Legos. I'm talking about like at least like 7 or 8 bags full of Legos. I mean, I was like, this is too many Legos for me. I'm going to start stepping on them everywhere in the house. And so we had so many Lego bags, we had to give some away to some other people because I wasn't going to take 7 bags of Legos in my house. I'm like, you guys get about 4 or 5 of them, you know. And then they had like this beautiful house that a Lego house. They had the Ninjago set, which is a very popular series in the Lego system. And they had like the dragon and everything. And the moment they gave them, the thought came, I answered your prayer. I was like, God, you gave more than what I could thought of. I wasn't going to buy all those Legos in their lifetime. I'm not going to. Those Legos were at least worth over like maybe like $2,000 worth. I mean, it was a lot of Legos. And when they gave it to them, I knew God heard my prayer. God blessed them more abundantly and exceedingly where I can even ask or think. I never thought about giving my kids, you know, all those Legos. And you might say like, oh, but that was a prayer. That wasn't a miracle. Well, miracles are birthed by prayer. When you go to God for prayer, you have to ask for God to do something in your life. Believe God in miracles. Isn't that what the story is about? Mary didn't think how it's going to all work out. But there were 6 large jars, each of them full of 20 or 30 gallons of wine. That's far and abundantly what we can ask or think. Mary just simply asked, turn some water into wine, maybe just to last a day. But when you have 6 large jars of wine, God blessed them so much that this new couple can take the excess and make an income out of it to bless others. So at least we know this is a very poor couple or a newlywed couple. They didn't have much. You know, their weddings could be expensive. This wedding probably drained out this whole man's bank account. You know, the next morning, he's probably telling his wife, you can't buy that. Why? Because we have no money. Already, day one, you have no money? Yeah, we all spend it on the wedding. You know, weddings could be expensive. You could talk about money problems day one. You know, we all know couples have money problems, you know, financial. You know, why are you buying that? My wife was getting on me sometime early in the days. You know, she's like, every time you buy a soda, it's $1. You spend $1 every day. I'm like, babe, just leave my soda alone. It's only $1. You know, we had a elderly woman living with us, and we asked her, what's her input? And thank goodness, she's like, let the man have his soda. I was like, thank goodness, man. I was like, thank you, Lord. Send me my dollar. You know, but you know, money problems can happens in marriage. You have to work those things out, amen. And you can see that this couple already was going to have some money problems. But Jesus blessed them more abundantly and exceeding what they thought, that they could live with the excess what they have to get them by. We notice that Jesus worked the miracles, but his servants did the work. His servants was the one that passed out the wine. Jesus didn't pass out the wine. In fact, Jesus didn't even speak to the water. He just worked it through his will. You know, some miracles Jesus would speak things out. But here in this story, he didn't speak anything out. He said, just go get some water, fill up the jars. And we see that in the doing so, in the process, while he's taking out the water, it turned into wine. He just worked his will because he's God. He can do anything. He's not limited by supply. He's not limited by nature. We serve a great God who is all powerful and all great, and he could do miracles in your life as well. Amen? Amen. We know Paul, who performed many miracles for God's people. You read the book of Acts. People will go to him all the time to heal the sick, amen. Peter, he worked a lot of miracles. There's an account in the book of Acts where people were just laid, the sick bodies, those who need a healing in their body, laid them down on the sidewalk. And Peter would just walk and his shadow would cast upon the sick and they will be healed. Listen, that's a miracle. God can work miracles, amen. We know the miracle of God feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. He just blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and it multiplied. But it was his disciples who went out to the multitudes and started handing them out. And they to 5,000 people, it just kept, the baskets kept on filling them up, and they had leftovers. We know in the Old Testament that God used prophets to move in miracles, amen? And today, God can move in a miracle in your life, amen? Amen. I can remember sometimes, I remember the first miracle that it happened to me. I was a new convert and I was having some back problems. And there was an evangelist that came to our church service and he was praying for the sick. I'm like, okay, I got some back problems, you know. And he came, he asked me to sit down and he lifted up my legs and noticed that one of my legs was shorter than the other. It was about like an inch, maybe an inch and a half shorter. And you know, I had faith and I was like, okay, yeah, let's pray, man. And I said a simple prayer after him. And I felt my leg extend out to the same length. I felt it by a simple release of prayer, and a miracle happened to me. I know miracles happen. There was another time in my life where I was praying for this little girl. I was in the children's church, and during that season, I was very heavily pressed about persistent prayer. And I looked at this one girl, and she wasn't born like this, but I don't know what happened or how it happened, but all of a sudden she started having a limp. Not sudden, it was gradual. And the limp got worse. Her leg was shortening. And it was starting, and by the time I noticed this, you know, I just let it go on, you know, and I'm praying, you know, and I think I was praying for her, you know. But anyways, at one time at children's church, you know, I was so pressed. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pray for her. And said, and her name was Nika. And I was praying for her. And I prayed for her and nothing happened. I was like, but you know what? I was in the season of praying. I was in the season of persistence. I knew something was going to happen. So I prayed again and nothing happened. So you know what? I'm like, you know what? Let me grab my brother in the faith. His name was Brent. He's given them gift of healing. And so Brent came over and helped me pray, and nothing happened. And we're usually after 3 times, we're like, well, thank you for letting me pray for you. We're gonna believe in God for you. But you know, there was something in my spirit to continue to pray for her. And so we asked her the question: is there anybody that you're angry with? And she was, you know, she says no at first, you know, and there's nobody that is angry I'm angry with. And then we prayed, and then we one more time we asked her, well, is there anybody you're maybe got you frustrated or mad? And she says, yeah, there's this little boy, there's this boy at my school that I'm mad at. And we asked, you know, we led her into a prayer of forgiveness, forgiving that little boy. And after she prayed that, her leg was starting to extend. I'm talking about at least 4 inches. I'm talking about a noticeable a shortening of a leg, and it started to come out little by little, and it came out like an inch. And I was like, let's pray again. It came out like another inch. And we prayed about three times where it became even. And her father was there and witnessed it. And her father was starting to cry. And she started to cry, knowing God touched her with a miracle. Listen, God can work miracles in your life today. Amen? Amen. I remember another time where I was having some pain in my right knee. It was bothering me for months and months. And I was just rereading the Word of God. And I read across the Word in Proverbs. In 4:20 it says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ears to my sayings, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And I said, you know what, God, your word said, if I incline your words unto my ear, and I just started repeating the Ten Commandments. I don't know, I looked up what that definition was, that where it says words, and I looked it up in my concordance, and it says Ten Commandments. Sorry, I'm not... Right there, it says, it means Ten Commandments. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to read God's Ten Commandments. I was on a prayer walk at work, and I started just repeating the Ten Commandments. I'm just believing what God says, that His Word is health to all my flesh. And my right knee, it was a sharp pain, and it went away. I noticed it go away. I'm like, whoa, that's so awesome. Thank you. And I gave glory to God. I remember a time where me and my wife, she was pregnant with Kareen in the stomach, and we're coming from LA, I believe, one time, and we're in a rental car, and this rental car, man, it showed how many mileage you had on the gas, you know. And I was notorious at that time of letting the gas tank go all the way down to empty, you know, and then fill it back up. My wife, she's like, don't, once it gets past the quarter, she's like, you need to fill up gas. She don't like to run out of gas on the road. And, she was traumatized because, you know, one time it came very, very close. Even I was nervous, you know. And so, but even this time, you know, now she's pregnant. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. And then we were coming from L.A. And you're coming from L.A., there's like this long 20-mile strand where there's no gas station. There's a strip where it's like 20 miles. And I'm like, oh, my Lord. I'm holding the calm. I'm holding the straight face. You know, I got all this and everything. And then we're driving, and you can see the next rest sign in 5 miles. And she looks at a gas station, 5 miles left, and she knows there's no gas station at that rest sign. And I'm like, don't worry about it, babe. We believe in God, you know? And man, we pulled in that rest sign, and I'm like, look, and there's a tow truck driver. I'm like, yes. I'm like, hey, man, you got any gas, man? I could buy off you. And I don't have any gas. I'm like, oh, my gosh. My wife was already, you know, you could just imagine how fed up she was, even being pregnant. And, you know, us guys, we're just thinking, I'm just going to run the next 5-7 miles, you know, to the gas station, and I'll run back with the gas. But, you know, in her mind, that's not going to work out, you know, that's not going to work out. And so we were in this rest station, you know, rest area, and where you could look over the ocean, you know, off the coast, you know. And I looked over, and I was like, by myself, my wife's over, I'm giving her some time to breathe, you know. You know, I was like, you know, Lord Jesus, you filled this earth with ocean water. God, I'm just asking you, Lord, to fill my tank up with some gas. And I'm like, all right, babe, let's go. Let's give it a try. I turned on the car, and the next gas station was 7 miles, and exactly 7 miles showed up on the gas tank. And let's go, hurry up, let's go. I'm not driving fast. I'm like, dang. And we exited off. We're able to put some gas. Amen. Lord Jesus helped me and provided a miracle for that day for me. Amen. Because it was going to be bad. Amen. But I say that because God has worked miracles in my life, and He can work miracles in your life. And there's a doctrine out there in the churches, in the church world, where it says they believe that God doesn't work miracles. They believe that God doesn't heal the sick today. Listen, that's not this church. We believe in God. We believe that God can work miracles. We believe that He's unchanging, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We believe that all things are possible with God. Amen? Amen. And God can work miracles. Amen. We, just like Mary, have to acquaint ourselves with our need to the Lord in prayer. One thing I noticed over the years of my walk with God is that sometimes he does things when his servants ask him to. Sometimes you know the story with Abraham, and God was going to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham interceded, "Lord, if there is 50 righteous, would you spare the city?" And notice God's response. He said, "Yes, I will." God, if there was only 45, would you spare the city? "Yes, I will." He said, he brought it down to 40. He brought it down to 30. He brought it down to 20. He brought it down to 10. And the Lord Jesus said, "Yes, I will spare the city." That shows that he works with us. He knows, he knows our hearts. But we have to go to God in prayer. "God, can you work a miracle in this area in our lives?" God cares how much you have in your bank account. And if your bank account is running dry, you can ask God, "God, help me. Provide for me through this week. Provide my rent if you don't have rent money." God can work miracles in your life, just like he worked a miracle for Mary. She was looking for a miracle. She said they ran out of wine. She wasn't looking for God to have compassion and just leave it alone. No, she was looking for a miracle. And just like your life, you could be looking for a miracle. Go to God in prayer. Verse 7 through 8, it says this. "Go and fill up the empty jars of water." And the servants drawed out some and to take it to the headmaster of the feast. And he did not know where it came from, but the servants knew. Listen, the servants knew. The headmaster didn't know. That means the world may not know where your miracle came from, but you know where the miracle came from. It came from God because you prayed. Listen, when you go to the doctor and you're sick and you know you got healed by God, the doctor might not know where your miracle came from. They might not know how all of a sudden you became better, but you know. You know God worked a miracle in your life. The wine became the best wine, meaning it became old wine. It took time. We all know if the old wine tastes the best, the 1977, I don't know, whatever out there, you know, that's the best wine because it's the most expensive wine on the menu. You know the old wine is the best wine. It's superior to the new wine. And when he did this, it was a way to reveal his glory. Meaning that when God works miracles in your life, he's revealing his glory to you. He's revealing you, himself, to your life, that he cares, he hears your prayers. And God worked the miracle by his will, meaning that he didn't have to speak to the water to change it. No, he hears. He could speak from heaven. Isn't that what the centurion said? He said, "Don't bother yourself, Jesus. You don't have to come to my, just speak the word." And God could speak the word from his heavenly throne from heaven, and it will happen. God, just speak the word, and it shall be done. Just speak it from your throne of grace, Lord. And notice, Jesus didn't have to taste his own wine. He's like, let me make sure if it's good wine. No, he knew it was good wine. He's all-knowing. He knew what kind of wine he gave, because he's a king, and the king gives very lavishly. There's no power to his limits. There's no limit to his greatness. And I like to close thinking about Moses, amen. Moses is a man or a prophet in the Old Testament likened unto Jesus. And they share many similarities. In John 1:17, it says this. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And what this means is that Moses brought the meat. It's like this, like you have like a party or like a Thanksgiving. Somebody will bring the turkey, but Jesus will come to the party and he will bring the dessert and the good stuff. You know, Moses brought the meat. He brought the law, but Jesus brought grace and truth and compassion and love and mercy, which is so much better. And that's what Jesus wanted the Pharisees, the leaders of Israel, to do. Listen, show compassion. Don't be so stringent. Don't be so strict about the good law. Show some love. Show some mercy. And that's what he did when the woman came to him, when they brought the woman who was caught in adultery. They were respecting the law. But no, Jesus showed grace and mercy to the woman. He said, go out and sin no more. It's like our giving. If you were to give, amen, like $10,000 in your whole lifetime. Just, you start, I started giving when I was 19. Let's say if I gave, I don't know, $20,000 in my whole lifetime. And I go before the Lord Jesus Christ on Judgment Day. It's not like Jesus said, here's your $20,000 back that you gave throughout your whole life. That's not how God works. No, God blesses. And he blesses what you give because you were obedient. He's not going to just give you your $20,000 back. He's going to bless. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be in the form of money or something. But I know whatever he's going to give back is going to be a blessing on it. Whatever you give, because he gives and gives, keeps good records. Amen. Water would have been the bare minimum, but he turned it into wine. So much better, amen. And Moses, if you think about Moses, he worked the first miracle against Egypt. What was the first miracle against Egypt? He turned water into blood. But Jesus turned water into wine in his first miracle. This shows that he wants to show his goodness to his people. He wants to show his goodness and bring joy and comfort to you. Song of Solomon says this, and I love this verse. It says, for your love is better than wine. For your love, Lord, is better than wine. Can you sing that verse over your life? Your love is better than wine, Lord. And you're from the South, you probably say something like this, your love is better than whiskey. Because, you know, in the South, they drink a lot of whiskey out there. But there's something far better than the miracle. It's the miracle worker. It's the change breaker. It's Jesus. And the master of the head feast said this to the bridegroom. You have kept the good wine up to now. And there's some commenters and some people say, you know, the best is yet to come. But listen, I believe that the best, that we can have God's best right now. That we can have God's mercy and his grace and his goodness right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. God can show his goodness to you right now. Amen. He's not bound in time to work a miracle. You can enjoy his faithfulness and his love right now. This miracle that Jesus did, it was full of compassion. You know, all the newlywed couple, all they were going to do was, okay, they're going to have some embarrassment. You know, you could just shrug your shoulders and say, okay, that's not much. It's not like they're going to die. You know, you could have said, you know, oh, they're just going to suffer some disgrace among the community. You know, Jesus could just shrug his shoulders and said no. But he went to God and his Heavenly Father in prayer. And it was enough. Listen, that was enough. It wasn't a life or death situation. It was to save them from an embarrassment. And it was enough for the Heavenly Father to work a miracle. Say, go ahead. I care. I care about their lives. I care about their name. I care about their wedding. And God cares about your situation. He could work a miracle in your life. And when God works a miracle, share the testimony. Share what God did in your life. You know, just like, you know, what many people did. Just like the demoniac man. He was full of a legion of demons. 12,000 demons in one man. That's unbelievable. And God set him free. And he wanted to follow Jesus. He said, Jesus, let me follow you. But what Jesus said, no, go back to your family. And go back to the cities and tell them. That's a testimony. Go tell them what the miracle I did in your life delivered you from bondage and the demoniac. In Psalms 34 verse 8, and I close, it says this, taste and see the Lord is good. Amen. Taste. Have your sins forgiven. Taste it. It's good. See and taste that, have your shame and guilt taken away. See that he'll give you eternal life for all those who have faith in him. Listen, my pastor, my first pastor, he told me long ago, he said, you know, Danny, you're a miracle. And I didn't really know what all that meant at that time. But in time, I knew what he meant. It meant, you know, those who give their life to Jesus, who give their all, it's a miracle. those who make, you know, church a priority in their lives, it's a miracle. Because we know that the devil in the world pulls people. They don't want you to be, God, the devil doesn't want you to be faithful to church. God, you know, the devil doesn't want you to lay down your life for the cross. We all have a cross to bear. And I laid down my life. And he's like, you're a miracle. And God can work a miracle of salvation in your life. Forgive you your sins. And not only that, but he could do other miracles if you simply ask him to. Because he cares. And I like to close, amen, knowing that God can do a miracle in your life. Let's have every head bowed and eye closed, amen, as we go before in God in prayer.